This evening we're going to be looking at a subject that I've called Serious Christianity Isn't for Wimps. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. I'm sure some of you have memorized those. But before we get there, I want to look at a couple of verses, just read a couple of verses in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Let's take a few minutes and do what the psalmist says to do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. So, I want to take some time and answer the question, what has God done for you recently? I want to look this evening at 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Passage begins, do you not know? And I think in doing this, Paul is he's going to make a point. He wants us to think about something. He wants to consider a known truth, something that should be obvious. But he's going to take that known truth and he's going to draw a spiritual application from it. There is one command in this passage. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. So Paul says, y'all know that in a race, and Paul is thinking of something like the ancient Olympic Games, the ancient games that were played every 2 years. And he's thinking of that setting, and he's saying, you know, it's obvious that no one gets in that race with the intent of losing. Now, today it's not uncommon that people enter a 5K or a 10K marathon, and they do it just to say they've done it. They do it because they've challenged themselves to do something physical like that. They've spent some time training, and they run a race to say that they've done it, and they're happy if they finish. The Olympics ain't that way. Nobody goes to the Olympics thinking, you know, I'm gonna come in last place, and that's what I'm there for. When you're thinking of that sort of a race, and think of a foot race. Everyone who gets in that race is determined to do their very best, and they all think that they have a chance of coming in first. Knowing that, Paul says, you, Christian, run in such a way that you can come in and get the only prize that's offered for the race. Those ancient races, they didn't have gold, silver, and bronze. You either came in first or you lost. Paul says, Christian, think about your Christian life. Think about how you're living your life. Think about your focus, your attitude, your approach to how you're going to live the Christian life. The command here is run. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Just as an Olympic runner intends to win, so we also ought to have the attitude in our Christian lives that we're in it to win, and if there was only one prize to be won, if there was only one person that was going to be saved, you were determined to be that person. Now, there's not an objective truth being taught here that says only one person gets the prize of eternal life. That's not at all what Paul's getting to. He's talking about our attitude and living our lives in such a way that if there was only one person saved, you were out there determined to get it. What this does mean is that we should put as much holy sweat into the Christian life as we would put real sweat into an Olympic foot race. With credit to Dr. McLaughlin for his term holy sweat. And I don't know where he got it from, but I'll give him the credit. Your mindset must be that you're in it to win no matter what, no matter how long the race. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian for. Doesn't matter how long the Lord delays his coming back. Doesn't matter how parched your mouth is, thinking of the race here. Doesn't matter how parched your mouth is, or how badly your muscles ache, or how loudly your lungs scream for air, or how intense the opposition. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Live your Christian life in such a way that if only one person could be saved, you would be that one. You know, I think we sometimes we all understand that salvation is by grace through faith. We all understand that the concept of God's grace, that He is doing in us and for us and through us what we cannot do for ourselves. We can't save ourselves, we can't keep ourselves saved, but He does it. And I think sometimes when the going gets tough, the tough plead grace when we ought to be embarrassed and ashamed a little bit about how little effort and how little energy we've put into our Christian lives. Now, I'm thankful for God's grace. If it weren't for God's grace, I wouldn't be here tonight. But it's easy sometimes when we're tired, when life gets too hectic, when it's a real pressure, it's a real strain, it's a real stretch of your sleep time that you need to spend quality time with God. It's real easy to take some shortcuts and think, you know, God's grace is great. I'm saved by grace through faith, and I don't have to worry about that. The reality is that it's always too soon to quit running in such a way that you can obtain that prize. It's always too soon to give up on that mindset that says, if only one person were to be saved, I'm going to live my life in such a way that I would be the one. This is the only command. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Meaning, run the race of the Christian life as if there were only one person who could win, and you're striving to be that one person. In the next verses 25, 26, 27, we find three lifestyles that every contestant in a race must adopt for themselves if they're going to be a serious contender for the crown, for the prize. Verse 25, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. And again, Paul here is drawing on common knowledge with regard to those games that were held every 2 years. Everyone who's in the race runs, and everyone who's in the race is temperate in all things. So Paul says, be moderate or be self-controlled. Verse 26, he says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Be deliberate in what you do. Verse 27, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He says, don't let your body, your physical needs, don't let that be in control. And if you read the context of the passage we're looking at, all of 1 Corinthians 9 and then into 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you realize that Paul's talking about his service as an apostle and what he has given up, the rights he's given up to serve as an apostle. He tells us that we're to run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. And in doing so, we need to adapt or adopt the lifestyles of moderation or self-control, being deliberate, and being in control over our bodies. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. The word temperate is translated self-control in the list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:23. It's the same word. 1 Peter 1:6, talking about the progress that we're to be making in our Christian lives. Let me read that one for you. Maybe not 1 Peter. 2 Peter. Also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. That's the same word that's translated temperate in 1 Corinthians 9:25. Contestants in the biennial Olympic Games spent 10 months in rigorous training before they'd be allowed to compete in the games. During that time, they exercised all sorts of discipline, not only avoiding obviously harmful things, but also good things that would hinder their progress. They learned and demonstrated self-discipline and self-control. Being those who are able to exercise self-control. And we understand that for a believer, the concept of self-control is Holy Spirit control. Most of us, even having been Christians for many years, often don't do very well with controlling ourselves, but God's grace through His Holy Spirit does that for us. Exercises self-control in all things. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. We recognize there's things that control us. There's things that enslave us. There's things that don't help us. Even though it's perfectly okay for us to do them in one sense, they don't help us along in our Christian lives. All things, in 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. As Christians, we need to, by the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit of God, we need to be bringing things into our lives and choosing the things for our lives that are helpful for us in our Christian life, that are not enslaving, that don't capture us, and that lead towards our edification and edification of the body as well. The author to the Hebrews said it this way: therefore we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, something that would hold us back, something that would keep us down, something that would keep us from running well. And in addition to the weight is the sin. The weights aren't sin. The weights are just things that would keep us back. The sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run. Athletes know that there is a necessary regimen to follow if they're going to be in their absolute best physical, mental, and emotional condition for a competition. They need to follow a disciplined lifestyle, sometimes doing what they'd rather not do, and other times avoiding what's not the best. It's necessary for us to demonstrate, by the grace of God, that self-control, that Holy Spirit-empowered self-control, if we are going to be running the race as though we're in it to win. Verse 26, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. The idea of running uncertainty with uncertainty has, you don't know where you're going. You know, it's a silly concept of someone being on a racetrack and not knowing where to go, but that's the picture. Not knowing what direction to go, not knowing where the goal is, not knowing where the finish line is. Not fighting as one who beats the air. Some commentaries want to talk about this as doing maybe shadow boxing in practice, in training. But the idea really is not having to do with training, but it's one who's facing their opponent and can't manage to land a punch. Hebrews 12, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How? Well, not with uncertainty, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Focusing our eyes on Him. He's the goal. He's the end of the race, is being home with Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'll tell you, if it is true in my life that to live is Christ, then I'm certainly not running with any measure of uncertainty. I know exactly what I'm doing, where I'm going, and how I'm going to get there. Later on in the book of Philippians, Paul says, one thing I do. But wouldn't it be nice to have a day where we could say, this one thing I do, instead of these 46 things I need to do. And somehow in there, I've got to squeeze in some time for the Lord. Paul says, this one thing I do. That certainly takes care of the issue of running with uncertainty. Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching forward to those things that are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul is demonstrating and explaining very clearly that he wasn't running with any measure of uncertainty. He knew exactly what he was doing, where he was going, and how he was going to get there, and he was headed there full speed ahead. And he wasn't going to let anything in the past, anything on the sidelines, distract him from where he was going. To us, Scripture says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Verse 27 says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Again, he's using here the picture of the race. And it would be someone getting to the finish line of the race and one of the judges in the race saying, well, no, you didn't follow the rules. You cheated. Getting all the way to the finish line, thinking that you won and being told that you're not in the running because you didn't do it the right way. You didn't follow the rules. Paul is not suggesting here that Christians are going to get to heaven and be told, you know, I don't have a place for you. That's not at all what Paul's saying. We got to be careful about not taking an illustration and using it to teach something that it doesn't teach. So it's the image of the race here. There are two strong words in verse 27 that many of our English translations do very little justice to. Verse 27 says in the NIV, no, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I beat my body and make it my slave. The phrase, I beat my body, literally means to strike under the eye. One of our translations says, I pummel my body. Paul isn't here suggesting any sort of asceticism that would say, you know, I've got to suffer some things in order to purify myself for heaven. He's not talking about any sort of self-immolation as a form of worship or penance. He's not saying, you know, suffer somehow in your body in order to make yourself right for heaven. Literally, to strike under the eye, Paul is telling us that he, figuratively, lands a knockout punch on his body. Paul is talking about delivering, if he were doing this to an opponent, he is delivering a blow to his opponent that would in one punch knock him out. A knockout punch renders your opponent incapable of fighting against you. And the idea here in this verse is that our bodies, and in the context of the passage, we could make application to the flesh, to the old nature. But I think Paul is first and foremost talking about our bodies. And if you look in the context of the passage, he's talking about the things that he sacrificed in order to serve Christ, in order to minister with the Corinthians. So Paul is saying that we need as Christians to have our bodies under control so that they don't oppose us in our Christian walk. Paul goes on to say, I make it my slave, literally to enslave or to subjugate. Paul is not suggesting that selling oneself into slavery is a desirable means of serving God. But he is reminding us what he told the Romans, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, that one slaves you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Paul is reminding us here in 1 Corinthians 9:27 that we cannot be the slaves to our bodies, to our physical desires, to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We can't be slaves to our human walk. But rather, we need to make our bodies serve us in our walk with Christ. What this passage means to us, 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27, the command is to run. I think if we get nothing else out of the passage, the obvious application is that we need to be actively and diligently and wholeheartedly and totally involved and committed to the Christian life. Christianity is not something we just tack on Sunday morning or Sunday morning and Wednesday night. It needs to consume everything we are and everything we do. Self-control is a must. Holy Spirit-empowered self-control. The idea there is self-control, but we understand that even as Christians, we need the work of the Holy Spirit in order to practice that. We must be focused and deliberate in our energies. Not running with uncertainty, not fighting as one who beats the air. Focused and deliberate, making everything we do count for the cause of Christ. And we must not allow our bodies to demand undue attention. We need to make our bodies serve us in the cause of Christ. Not living just like everybody else lives their earthbound lives that don't have a hope of eternity. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it for a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Put your all into your Christian life. Practice Holy Spirit empowered self-control. Live your life deliberately. Don't live on autopilot. You know, you live very long on autopilot. You wake up one day and you realize that years have gone by. Don't live your life like everyone else who is just an earthbound creature, but live your life in such a way that your body is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and works for you in your service for Christ.